Good morning, all. I'm happy to call this meeting to order. The first item on the agenda is consideration of the minutes, which has been circulated to you in draft. Do I hear any corrections or amendments to the minutes? If not, I'll take a motion to accept. It's been moved.
Second.
Dr. Willman, second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Minister. Thank you. Now our controller is going to talk to us about our financial statement.
Thank you. So I'm going to be talk about the October financials. I didn't get all the revenue in to be able to finish up November. So for the month of October, we're looking at a $301,000 net loss. It's very comparable to last year. Last year, we came in about $298,000 net loss. Year to date, we're looking at $142,000 net loss. And we budgeted about $1,037,000 net loss. So we're doing well above budget. The main variance between what we budgeted and how we're coming in is just because awards have been down in revenue. So awards are down about $1.3 million year to date, and revenue is down about $605,000 to what we budgeted. If we stay on course to budget for November and December, we're looking at a net income of $895,000. And in that number, we had budgeted $1.3 million for the VLT recapture. As of November, because I actually got their revenue for November, it's looking like we have $2.3 million of VLT recapture that will be recognized at year end. So that's about $1 million more than what we had budgeted. So we're looking at about like $1.9 million net income.
Which would give us how much for the year then?
I'm sorry?
How much for the year?
For the year. So if we stay on budget for November and December with everything else, and then with that recapture, we're looking at about $1.9 million. I have a few other adjustments that I need to make for you.
But how much, I'm sorry, how much in total revenue then?
Total revenue?
Revenue, yes.
Excess revenue.
No, just how
much? No, just revenue, like are we 19 million or 20 million?
Oh, I'm sorry.
So I'll be adding another 2.3 million and then adding to the revenue that we already have in there. We'll have about 21 million.
21 million, okay,
yep.
Thank you.
And close to 22, about 21.8.
Okay.
Of revenue. There's still a few more adjustments, year adjustments I'm going to be need to make. About $40,000 for the allowance for the Catskill bad debt, and then two other adjustments, the GASB for the retirement, and then the post-employment benefits. And last year, that adjustment came in about $137,000 for the GASB 75. So I'm not sure what this year's going to amount to, but it's about the same. We're still doing good because of the net income. The only other thing that I wanted to bring to the attention is the AR. They were looking really good. As of October, we had three that was in the over the 60 to 90, but I received a full payment from Capital and Nassau for their portion that was in the 60 to 90. So we still have the Catskill that's been delinquent, but everybody else is.
When was the last time the Catskill paid us?
Let's see. Last payment we received was February 9th of 2022.
So not only do they have an amount that they owe, it keeps on growing every.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, so they still have balances back from 2019.
So in our previous meeting, last meeting, we said that we were going to start a lawsuit. And has that been activated or?
No, we'll have counsel report on that.
I'll report on that, Jeff.
Yeah, but, well, we'll have a report on that and then we can talk about it. Yeah.
Question for you. So just in looking at the last page, which is what you were just talking about, revenue. Mm-hmm. So if I understand it correctly, Capital and Nassau are no longer in that 60 to 90 day column, right?
Correct, they paid in full in November.
Okay,
yeah.
Great. Thank you.
Anybody else have questions? Okay. So we're going to be, what you said, in terms of revenue, our budget was 20 million roughly. And in fact, we're going to be about 2 million above that.
Well, probably about a million above that, because in that revenue, we already budgeted 1.3 for the VLT recapture. And it's looking like as of November, we have about 2.3 that we can recapture.
Okay. May we have a motion to accept the report?
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. Now, the consideration of expenditures for upgrade.
Yes. So Tech 2, who's our IT support company, they reached out to us and they notified us that our server is coming to the end of its useful life. So they gave us a proposal to upgrade our current server, which is a 2012 R2 standard to the 2022. They want to add some more RAM to the server and then update the SQL Express from 2014 to 2019. So they gave us two quotes, one for the hardware and then one for their labor. The hardware is coming in at $2,632, and then they quote us for 25 hours of labor to get it all installed, and that was $3,375. So total $6,007. And when I talked to them about the hours, if that was like a good estimate or if we need to kind of have a little bit of cushion, they're very good with their estimates, they said, on doing these upgrades. But if they like encounter any things that look out of the norm or whatever, they'll have a conversation with us. But they did say that they're very good with their estimates for the labor. So I don't know if we want to...
And you've had them before? You've used them before?
Yes.
They've been our company for...
Yes.
Okay, you're satisfied with their services?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, could I have a motion to accept the bid?
Sure, I'll make the motion.
I second that.
Okay. I mean, does anybody have... I'm sorry if I...
I think what Kim is asking, can we have approval for an expenditure up to maybe $7,500 in case their labor goes over?
That's fine.
Okay.
That's fine. Does anybody?
And what's the time frame on all this? I may have missed that.
Okay. We need to do it before next October. So me and Tracy are thinking at the end of year end, like about the end of first quarter, beginning of spring to do it, just so we can get through all our year end reporting and so forth. And we're
sure.
Not.
Are they able to do that?
Yeah.
I know that works for us, but does it work for them, I guess?
Yep.
So you expect it done by March or April of this year? Is that correct?
Yeah, to begin by March or April and be done by before October.
Okay.
Definitely, yeah.
Okay. All right, any other questions? Okay, I'll take the motion now. Up to $7,500.
Okay. And now who signs these agreements?
The executive director would.
I do.
Yeah, okay, so now you can sign on.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay,
well,
gotcha.
We have a motion.
We still have, as soon as they vote on it, on the vote motion.
Okay. Can I a vote on the motion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Motion carries. Review of the person in Richmond for Fingerlicks and Naira. Is that going to go in conjunction with your report, Council?
Which?
The review of the purse in Richmond. Are you going to be talking about that going forward?
I'm certainly prepared to talk about it, but you're talking about the purse in Richmond agreement?
Well, that's going to be concomitant with the purse in Richmond, it would seem to me.
Right.
Well, why don't we let you go first? I mean, so then Council can... discuss that, okay?
Okay, so we are looking for board approval for an additional $500,000 for Kurtz Enrichments, $200,000 for Finger Lakes to be used next year, and then $300,000 for Naira.
Also to be used next year.
And to be used next year. And this money wouldn't go out until the December financials are, until we get through the audit with the auditing firm to see where we stand. But it wouldn't be going out until next year.
So is this coming out of our this is additional to our, to the budget, or this is part of the approved budget from last year?
This would be additional. And so it'd be coming out of our surplus.
It's coming out of the surplus.
Surplus that you're writing, no, but not paid until next year, once the audit is finalized.
To update everybody, and the council can come into it, if you remember our last meetings, the Finger Lakes had asked for $200,000 for 2022. And then we, with no particular backup or anything, and I had asked council to do get in touch with Finger Lakes and come up with a memorandum of agreement that we knew exactly where the money was going forward. He has done that. He'll be able to report on that now. The $200,000 that they asked for 2022, of course, was gone by the time we do it. The races were run and whatever, however they were. So we have the money, and I said that as long as, in my mind, as long as we had a clear plan where the money was going to be spent in 2023, I had no problem giving them the money for 2023. So let's talk about Finger Lakes first. Council, you want to go over?
Sure. So we had put together a draft of a Person Richmond agreement, which you have here. After I circulated this this draft agreement, we had some additional discussions on number one. Number one of this Person Richmond agreement, I think would be better off, it would be better read as follows. To the extent, so let me back up. So the idea here is that we, you know, when the fund provides Person Richmond, the fund has the right to provide no Person Richmond, obviously, or it can provide Person Richmond pursuant to conditions that are set and established by this fund. And in recent years, we have, this board has seen fit to establish certain conditions with respect to the Person Richmond that it pays to Finger Lakes. And we've memorialized that in Person Richmond agreements, MOUs essentially, over the last few years. I think that we all know that more recently, Finger Lakes came to this board and said that due to apparently unforeseen events by them, they came to this board as sort of at the 11th hour a few months ago and said that they need additional Person Richmond. We were surprised to hear that. We took a look at it. This board was not satisfied that we could just give them that additional Person Richmond without sort of understanding better, you know, how this happened and making sure that this doesn't happen going forward. Since the last meeting, we've been working on a Person Richmond agreement that sort of, to my mind, better memorializes what it is we're doing, sets out the conditions a little more clearly. And I think the most important part of this draft Person Richmond agreement that you have in front of you is number one of this agreement, which, to be clear, I have additional language on this paragraph number one that you don't have in front of you, because I amended it after it was circulated. So my apologies for that. But let me just read it to you. I would propose that number one of this Person Richmond agreement read, to the extent there is sufficient surplus revenue from 2022, which we all assume there will be, and in accordance with the terms and conditions that are set forth herein, the Breeding Fund shall provide to Finger Lakes Racing Association an additional $200,000 in or about April of 2023, which is what we anticipate to be the case, to be used exclusively for Person Richmond in 2023. I think that language better captures what it is we're looking to do here, and so I would suggest that that language be, supersede the language.
Why don't you repeat that again, because people are writing it down.
To the extent there is sufficient surplus revenue from 2022, and in accordance with the terms and conditions set forth herein, the breeding fund shall provide to Finger Lakes Racing Association an additional $200,000 in or about April of 2023 to be used exclusively for purse enrichment in 2023. Okay, so that's the line. The rest of the agreement is essentially, you know, what you have in front of you. The only change is for number two, I have a little preface, a little prefatory language that says, in addition to the monies described in paragraph one, during calendar year 2023, subject to paragraph seven, the breeding fund shall also pay the following as purse enrichment to Finger Lakes, and then it's as it reads in front of you. So that's the only other change I would suggest to this purse enrichment agreement. Again, this has not been floated to Finger Lakes. This is where we've had some internal discussions about how this should look and how this should be memorialized. But if we can get, you know, board approval on this, then we would certainly bring it to Finger Lakes and see if we and get this memorialized. The conditions are is the various types of races are laid out in this document that really are not different
than the same as
what
before.
We have in place currently.
My, if I may.
Sure, please. That's what I want.
We're doing a letter agreement, or that's what we talked about at the last meeting, to more or less hold their feet to the fire for how are they going to account for this money on a regular basis. Is that going to be a separate document, or is that going to be part of this document?
Oh, this is the document. So if there's a deficiency in that you see, let me know. Okay,
I think Joe might like to see a language added that, you know, the racing secretary will report to our comptroller within a certain number of days. I think Joe had suggested five, and I asked him about it. And how frequently do they report to us?
Every month. Michael sent me over the previous month's activity.
Well, the reason I think that should be memorialized in this agreement is so that it's memorialized, so that we don't get into a situation like we did last year where they ran out of money. I mean, this agreement doesn't say that. It says they report to you, but it doesn't give a time frame or a drop dead date on when they need to do it. And I would say that we talked about this agreement last week, and we said, look, we can take them to task with the new agreement. I don't think this is strong enough. I think that you need to, in actuality, hold their feet to the fire and say, this is when we want to see the accounting, whether it's 5 days after the last race that's run in the previous month or 10 days. But we need to see that, and I think we need to see it on a very regular basis.
That's an excellent
point. I bring that up consider that.
In my mind, that's an excellent point.
They do send it monthly. So when I get it, I do my testing to make sure that they're paying the right amount. Do you want me to start distributing that with monthly financials so you guys can see where they're at?
Well, I think that if we had that last year, and if we saw that, and that was given to the fund board, say in December or at our August meeting, we would have seen that there was no way that they could go to the end of the year. So not only is it necessary that they give you that, it's necessary that the board sees it at their meeting, or the executive director brings it to the board's attention if we don't have a meeting scheduled. That's my point. I think
it's an excellent point.
We're all blindsided.
We're blindsided by it.
So would that be meeting of number seven here?
That's what it seems like to me, but I want to make it stronger.
So seven currently says, in the second sentence says, Finger Lakes Racing Association shall send monthly distribution reports and other documents as may be requested by the breeding fund, and shall otherwise cooperate with the breeding fund at all times to allow the fund to verify that Finger Lakes Racing Association's use of purse enrichment funds are consistent with the terms of this agreement. I mean, I can make that stronger, but I think it I thought that captured what it is that
well, I think what he's saying is not less than 10 days after yeah. I think that's the point.
That's
right?
What I'm saying. The yeah. point is that this has to have a drop dead date on when we see this thing.
So it's not
that they will encounter to try to do this. We need to say, you must do this.
Mm-hmm.
This is a condition of the contract.
Well, I would say not less than 10 days after the
last race
of the month.
Previous month. Is that fair?
10 days.
That gives them 10 yeah. working days to put that together.
I think we get it. Do we get it sooner than that now?
We do get it sooner.
Okay, that's fine.
Well, what went wrong last time, I guess?
I don't want to ask the question now.
Because all of a sudden...
when I get it, okay, I do my testing to make sure that what they're paying out is in line with the agreement. I don't know what they have scheduled for the future. So when I was looking at it and seeing how much they've we've sent in, you know what I mean, based on agreement, how much they're using, I don't know what their future stuff is. So what Jill told me to do was just to test it, just to make sure that they're paying the correct horses and the correct amount.
Sure.
Going forward, I can most certainly...
So that's not really saying, are you sticking to your budget? Because you're not seeing how much money they have left in it.
Right.
You're just seeing how they're dispersing the money in the races, and that's not what we're asking for here. What we need to see is how much of their total budget for the year have you spent on each month.
Right.
So how much is your balance for the other, how many days left in the race meet, therefore?
And they should be able to report that to us, not make you do the work.
Yeah.
Well...
And do we want them to tell
us... I'm. You'll all forgive me on these questions, but do we have specifically a proposal on each and every race that they're going to enrich the purses on?
Yes, it's in this agreement. It's for the maiden special weights.
Four types of races and stakes. Maiden special, non-horse race, other than non-horse, two non-horse, three.
So what we really need is a report as to what's left for them to give the money on, right? Or give the purse enrichment on.
Accountability from the racing secretary to ensure that they won't go through the money for the next book versus what they've spent so far.
So really we need their race count. For example, in August, I was surprised by August that they had, which I didn't know until September, but that by August they had written 66 maiden special weight races. So
right, that can occur going forward.
That's,
they won't have the money.
And that's, so that's why they used up the money so quick. I mean, that's one of the reasons.
So that's over $300,000, and if their total budget, according to what I'm seeing here, is now $800,000, last year it was $600,000, that's half of their money.
Yeah.
That they used in one month. So that's what we have to be on the lookout for. If they're going to do that, we have to say, whoa, you're going to be out of money, and this is, we need to deal with that.
Oh, excuse me, I need to clarify. They didn't write 66 maiden special weight races in August, but by August for the whole year starting. In April, they had written 66.
That's a lot of races. So anyway, my only point is that I think that we have to have a date where it says, which says you must report how much money you have spent, not just what percentage that is of that of your total budget is that. Because we have to be able to, we have to see that. And if we don't see it, we'll end up in the same thing.
Yeah.
And if their excuse is, well, we wrote too many maiden races last month, that's not an excuse if we have it documented that this is the way you're going to report this.
Mm-hmm.
Along those same lines, and I agree with what you're saying, Joe, what is our current actual distribution to them, and could we make more frequent payments based upon receipt of the 10-day report, or so they can spend it? That's
so I pay them monthly, so we don't give it all up front. So every month they're getting $50,000. I'm not sure if we want to put that language in here too, because it's just saying $600,000. If we put
pay monthly.
I think the last one read by the 17th of the month that they were going to get paid. If you want to be more specific on when I'm distributing.
Yeah, that's a good suggestion. Yeah. Okay. I'm struggling with, but I know you can do this better than I can, which is the reporting versus how much they spent and how much they have left to spend in that.
There's two weak sentences, I think, in here that could be clarified a little bit by somebody who's artistic, maybe. But in number seven, shall monitor the use of first enrichment funds. I think to endeavor to make those funds last through the calendar year seems a little bit like, you know, a little weak. And then the funds shall send monthly distribution reports and other documents as may be requested. I think we should spell out the documents to indicate what's your balance, what's your projected number of races to get through the end of the year. You know, so somebody who speaks.
Probably what I would do to beef that up is I would add distribution, monthly distribution reports, and then additional documents, and I'm going to keep the and other documents as may be requested by the brief. But we want to have that leeway.
Yeah,
that redounds to our benefit.
For sure.
Should we have it as may be requested or required to send it?
No, as we request it. It's as may be requested by us.
Anything we want, they're
entitled.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Rather than endeavor, I think an actual accounting.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
So, yeah. Yeah.
It's going to be more than give it a college try.
All right. What I'll ask council to do is do this and then next couple of days send it on to the board.
And that can be approved in a pass around?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Once we get that, then, and if there's a, if people think we need a special meeting for that, fine. Otherwise, we'll just go ahead. And if everybody's satisfied with it, we'll go ahead.
So it's the one condition, seven. We're going to have a rewrite on that. We're going to pass that around.
Can we have a authority, board authority, to grant the chairman the authority to approve the revised first enrichment agreement?
Sure. I'll do that, but only after I get everybody's input on this. Okay.
Good.
All right. We'll take a motion on that.
So moved.
Okay.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you. Now, just to give my colleagues a little, what I've been discussing with council is, I know we have this for Finger Lakes. We have no writing at all for Naira. At all. And I will admit my long-term legal career raises hackles in my mind that we were just giving out money with no writing. I have asked him to contact Naira and to do a similar report for Naira, just that we have it out and in writing so that everybody, you know, good contracts make good friends. Okay. Is that to everybody's satisfaction?
Yes.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, okay.
It's good for the goose, it's good for the gander.
There you go. And that's nothing about Naira. I mean, they're obviously very, very, I've had some very good discussions with them on other issues, and I'm very impressed with them, but I think it's just proper for us to be doing that. I was remiss. I wanted to introduce everybody. I don't know, Ralph Scusiano has been just named as the executive director of the Ag Fund. Thank you. And Ralph, you're very welcome.
Thank you.
Did you want to introduce our visitors?
Oh, yes. Well, I know I'm traveling here with Elizabeth Walters, who's Deputy Commissioner of Agriculture for us, and doing a great job.
Thank you.
And also our registrar, Adam Lawrence, is here.
Adam, thank you. Okay. I think it's up to you, Ms. Egan.
Okay. Finally, the update on the fall crop. We had 1,500 foals dropped on New York farms this year. Yes?
Excuse me. Before you start, so on the Naira thing, will we wait till the March meeting and then kind of do a similar thing as this?
Also, exactly. Actually, I should put that in the minutes that we've authorized council to get hold of NYRA to formulate a Person Richmond agreement and to report back to the board with a draft in the March meeting.
I think Naja had mentioned at, I think he first mentioned it at the August board meeting, that NYRA was looking for $400,000 for the New York Stallion Stakes series. So here's an additional $300,000. I mean, it's not all they asked for, but it's very important to the New York Stallions, as you'll see when I do my full report, that that they get support for those purses.
Yeah, currently, Chairman, the money which is received from Person Richmond goes towards the New York Stallion Stakes series, which is progeny of New York Stallions. Really, you know, it supports the, you know, investment for people to buy New York sire, you know, yearlings and two-year-olds at the sales. And, you know, any amount of money we could use to increase those efforts would be beneficial. I also think it would be beneficial to talk with NYRA as well and, you know, hammer out the specifics of any new agreement. So I think we could go towards the March meeting with in mind from our perspective to help support our stallion program, but as well hear from the other side of their thoughts on what, you know, Person Richmond would involve as well.
And just to add something to that, and I agree with what you said, a little colloquially, but I feel, and some others do, that a big part of our function is to be shepherds. So when you got a sheep that's hanging back, you got to watch out for it. So one of the things that's happened is the stallion business has changed a lot. Joe can talk better about it than me, but it's put pressure on New York Stallions. When the VLT money came in and the money went up, there's been a gradual shift away from New York Stallions. Not that people don't like them, but the higher priced ones are in Kentucky. So that's a challenge that we're dealing with. It's very important to the industry to have stallions here, not just for the stallions, but for infrastructure and other reasons. So we have, as a group, decided to use our discretionary income on this Person Richmond with NYRA, focused on the stallion series, to try to bring that into the game up. Just, that's my two cents. Do you want to add anything to that?
Well, it's a topic that will come up regularly at our board meetings because it is under pressure. I mean, we have a horse sale here in August every year where the New York Breds average $90,000. Now that $90,000 is the highest of any regional sale in the world. I mean, bar none. The majority of that is because there's a lot of Kentucky sired horses in the race. If you put a New York sired horse in that same sale, you're lucky to make $50,000. So the demand is for the Kentucky sired horses because they are viewed to be more competitive, although I don't know if that's true. So what that does means that New York Stallions get less attention on the farms, they get less support from the breeders, and we constantly need to be looking at ways, and this Stallion Stakes thing was one of the things that we came up with a few years ago to say, okay, we'll put $2.3 million into the Stallion Stakes series, we'll run two races for two-year-olds at the end of the year, one for $500,000 for fillies and one for $500,000 for colts. So that's the background on how we came to that.
Those are the biggest in the country.
And do you think we're doing, the obvious question, is it too late or too early for us to figure whether that has been successful?
Well, they're going to run those races this weekend. And the best way to decide if that's successful is to see how many entries we get. If we don't get enough entries, then we got to think, we got to do something else to encourage people to do more or to support these New York Stallions. My personal opinion is that, you know, Bill Wilmot and I don't think anybody else was here at that time, but years ago when we came up with this whole idea of allowing people to go out of the state every year, the concept was, okay, the guys who go out of the state every year will get the big bang at the horse sales, which they have gotten way over that, $90,000 average, or even more than that, I think now. So And at the same time, it hasn't kept pace with the New York side. So that model, although it was well-intentioned, really hasn't worked out because there's been so much demand for these non-New York sired horses. So that's the problem we face, and that trickles down to farms like Rick Burke out here, and like LeRae, and like Chris Bernhardt out there, that they can't get the funding together to buy high-end stallions because of that. So I think that what we should be looking at is some more incentives to breed to New York stallions. I think that we should raise the amount of awards for New York sired horses. I think that would immediately change some things. But I think it's a discussion point that we should have, and we should really work on it to try to get it. I mean, I think that, for instance, we're talking about this excess money we have here this year, for whatever reason. We pay that out in supplemental awards to the breeders of the state. Would it be possible to take that money and fund a New York sired award only? Let's remember that everybody got a raise in their breeders' awards when the purses went up because of the BLTs. Everybody got a raise across the board. So is that something we could consider? Can we consider just putting a 5% increase on the New York sired product? These are all questions that I think would help the thing. And the stallion people who have met separately outside of this board always advocate for those changes, along with more New York sired races. So I don't know if our board is in the position to act on those things now, if we could make it an agenda item for the next meeting, and that way we could then say that with the full crop of 2024 and forward, they would have these different rates, or they would have whatever else we could change.
Chairman, I would just say, following up on Joe, formalizing the agreement with NYRA would allow us to get creative and find, you know, more incentives and more ways to support the stallions of the state, and of course the progeny coming from those stallions.
Yeah, what I'm hearing from my directors is that this is, that at the moment we should use this as a springboard to further discussions.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm also hearing is that ought not to be left only to council, with all due respect, because this is stuff that has, we're not putting down a policy, we're making policy with NYRA, it seems to me. My suggestion would be that we set up a subcommittee to sit down with NYRA and work these concepts out, and then have council memorialize them. Does that seem right? I mean, that's what I'm hearing from the board.
Yes, I would like to say I agree with the points Joe raised, and my interpretation of it, as I stated briefly, is that when the money went up, people went out of state more, and it wasn't so much they just liked the New York stallions, it's a price point deal. I mean, your top stallions here were 7,500, maybe 10,000. You got horses in Kentucky standing for a couple hundred thousand. People are bringing those mares and full of those stallions to New York. So that's a good thing to a certain extent. And that's what makes it so tricky, because the program is successful and we want it to stay successful. So you want to be very careful when you shape changes so that they're gradually introduced, make sense, and don't scare people away. So that doesn't mean that you're not trying to move the ball in response to market forces. You just have to be careful you don't come up with unintended consequences.
So I think that's sage advice, because we've been talking about this every year since I've been able to be here. I think it should be an agenda item every year. You got to kind of look at it, but I think you need to be careful, because, you know, Kentucky is what Kentucky is.
Yeah, and we're not going to change that.
And no, they're good. You know, if you bid $5 million for a really nice stallion, they'll just say, okay,
Or we'll give you 10.
Or what, whatever.
And that's what happens.
They're not gonna stop.
And that's exactly what happens.
Probably not gonna win that. You're probably not gonna win that.
But if we see, now like we just, this week, we finalized a deal to buy an expensive horse, a source market for, and we did it through a conglomerate in...
Or then a syndicate?
We formed a syndicate before the syndicate, and we sold this thing. We said, okay, we got to come up with $1 million. 10% interest is worth $100,000. And with that, you get the right to syndicate four shares out of this deal. So this is probably more in depth than what you want to hear. But the point is that we took the bigger players in the state, we got them all into one deal to make a deal, to present it to the seller, and we've got it done. So we're working in that direction because I can't individually raise $2 million or $3 million, but if we work in a group together and we all put in $300,000 or $400,000, then we can do that. So that's where we're headed. But we did get something done this week, and that horse is going to get announced in the next couple of days, that he'll stand at LeRae's place, Rock Ridge Stud, and the principals are all the other farms in the state. So I think that's a good thing. I think that's something that's never been done before in New York, and it's long overdue.
So I think one of the problems that we don't have the New York breeders, they don't want to support the stallions as much, is because people that have money, they don't really care, so they can just breed to whatever they want, and they will have the money to take the horse to the next level and raise it, okay? Now, the little breeders that we have a lot here in New York, they want to make money in a short period of time. So, sadly, they make more money if they breed to a Kentucky stallion because it's the people they haven't supported. So, it's not because they don't like the New York, it's just because they want to make 80,000 instead of 20,000 to the New York sale. Okay, that's the reality. And some people that have the money, they don't care. They raise for them, or they're okay to take. So we need to bring better stallions to New York, but we're not big people like Winstar or Sheikh Mohammed that have all that money. They can just buy a big stallion. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if it can be. And as Joe was saying, it's really hard to buy $2-3 million stallion. That's what we need. We need a good stallion out there. But my point is, like, can this fund or this board support towards that so we can get a good stallion to support our New York breeder? I don't know how to do that, but if there can be something that, like, something we can make so we can all work together to bring a good stallion. Let's spend $2 million in a good stallion to bring in so the people will be excited about it. That way we're going to have better mares coming up here, and our locals, they want to breed to that, because then you're going to have a good market the next year. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people that want to breed to Kentucky, even if they are $10,000 or new stallions, because you know that the new stallion next year is going to bring you money, so that's what everybody sends to Kentucky. Mm-hmm. But how about we make, right. I don't know the right answer, but how about we support
I'm showing my age here. Mm-hmm. But for years, we had a rule in the state that said, it was a law that said that if you were breeding your mare in New York State, you could go out of the state every other year.
Yeah.
So we amended that because in the 80s, we had the financial crisis. Everybody was in the dumps. Everybody was in the dumps. And we had to make some changes to keep this industry going. And that was one of the changes we did, is we went to the legislature, we changed the law to say that you could go out every other year. We instituted a residency rule along with that to protect the farm. So, and it all worked very well. And consequently, we got this very successful sale here. But now it's disadvantage. It puts the neon signs at a serious disadvantage. So if we don't want to change the breed back rule, which I understand, I'm not necessarily advocating for that, but I think we should at least ask for different section or different types of races for New York sire horses through the condition book, through NYRA. Let's say, Bill, you can understand this, and I hope I can explain it well to everybody else so they understand it, but we could write a condition that says for horses that sold for less than 40 at public auction or that are by New York sired horses. And run that as a separate condition for a maiden race, a nominals of one, nominals of two. That way, you don't have the horses that are standing for $50,000 coming in and running against horses that are standing for $7,500. So I think that's the way we can do it without doing it legislatively. Right?
And what you're saying is what the chairman said, which is sitting down with Naira. Two comments that I'll let us move on. But years ago, when the when simulcasting came on board, that was a new source of revenue. Up till that time, all money was bet on track. It seems like only yesterday, but it's been, I don't know, 30, 40 years now. Point being, the way it was set up then, for every dollar bet on track at ACCA, Beaumont, Saratoga, the state got X, New York Racing got Y, the horsemen got Z, and the breeders got A. Well, when the simulcast law went in, simulcast revenue, which is now 80% of money bet, the breeders get zero, none. And that, so we've been playing chase our tail for all these years, because what happens is, because of the success of simulcasting, the purses are growing. Well, we have to match the purses from our fund without the revenue from simulcasting. So that happened because of an unfortunate circumstance in a certain man whose name I will say after the meeting if anybody's interested, and Joe knows who it is, but it was a mistake. And nobody ever wants to give up what they have. Joe and I learned that years ago when the New York City OTB went out of business, and we were faced, along with Tracy and Jeff Canizzo at the time, trying to figure out what to do so that we could keep the program going. We made some adjustments. Point is this. Almost half of the runners in New York are New York breds now. Fact. Full crop is diminishing. Fact. Kentucky Racing is getting stronger. Fact. Arkansas Racing is getting stronger. Fact. It may not hurt us terribly next year, but within 5 years, it's going to be a huge impact for this state. Huge. And once that ball starts rolling down the hill, that's not the time to fix it. Time to fix it now. So what am I saying? Your idea of sitting down with Naira is great, and the horsemen, because in my opinion, what we need is new money, new sources. Mm-hmm. We got a little new money from Naira when we made this agreement whereby auction mares could come in the state and they would pay through the purse account New York sired awards. That's a nice sort of pilot program.
It goes to owners.
To owners, yes, to owners. It's a nice pilot program. But that type of program is what we need to go going forward. We have to get Naira and the horsemen to somehow cough up some of that simulcasting revenue, of which we get zero, to really promote the New York program. That's the real thing we need to do. Anyway, that's...
And that's true. I mean, the handle, back when we had... You know, looking back again, when the fund started, the money all came from Naira and Finger Lakes, and they considered it their money. They gave up a half of 1% of their money, their profit, to fund this fund. That was really their money. And, you know, we always tried to work with them, knowing that in mind, that it really was their money. We're a unique organization because our funding comes out of racing. Doesn't come as a budget item from the ag department or from the executive budget. It comes out of the people that support racing, which is a unique thing, and it's a wonderful thing. But the point is like Bill said, it has changed from all this gambling on the racetrack every day to where people bet on their phones.
Yeah.
So we've lost handle.
We do get money from the Naira bets. That's the only one of those funds that we get a reasonable cut out of, but the rest of them,
we got nothing. So we need to change that. That needs to happen. And like Bill says, once people have it, it's very hard to take it from them.
We know that. That's a given.
So I think your idea of a subcommittee, I think to report back here in March, I think is excellent. I think that's what we should do. I think we should come in here with some suggestions and work on that. I'd be glad to work on that committee.
Okay. Is there anybody else want to?
I'd be happy to be part of that committee as well.
Okay, we have this.
And Patty, you were talking about the small breeders. We did a survey a few years ago and found that most of our breeders have five or fewer horses. And I had Jill and look into it a few years ago, and Kim also looked into it recently. What would happen if we boosted second and third place New York bred awards from 15% to 20%? I think it would cost us, based on 2019 revenues, about $500,000. And so we could afford to do that. I mean, we looked into raising the first place awards to 40%, and it does not look like that is affordable. But we could do that, you know, like immediately starting in the new year and be able to afford it, and we would still have surplus monies at the end of the year. Additionally, that New York Sired Bonus Program that NYRA started, they budgeted $600,000 a year. I think my figures are they're going to spend less than $300,000. Out of that, what they budgeted.
Yeah, part of that's because it happened when COVID happened, so everything got screwed up.
Well, I have the three members of the subcommittee, and
it's always the same people.
Well, they, and I would ask them, how do you want to proceed? Should we have, I guess, council? Oh, I don't have Miss Egan get in touch with NYRA and set up a meeting with those with the three. Okay. And get an equivalent date and then report back to the fund in our March meeting.
So who are the members of the subcommittee?
Naja,
Joe,
Bill Wilmot, Joe McMahon.
Oh.
Okay.
And we should have somebody else too. We have somebody who doesn't really participate on a large level. In the business, and I don't know who that is. Maybe Patty.
Patty
would like to see Patty. She's got
great.
I'll nominate her.
She's got boots on the ground.
That would be great. Great. Appreciate you doing that. Thank you. Okay.
So I think the subcommittee with Tracy and myself, we should obviously have.
You will be staffing it, sure.
Yeah. And then we'll reach out to Myra.
I mean, my suggestion is that Ms. Egan could have be with them during the negotiations, and then you come in there if we've got an agreement, because you don't need to be in the middle of that type, you know, the policy stuff. But at the end of that, you can help with their council memorializing it.
That's fine.
Okay.
Okay.
Good.
Me.
You're up. I think I interrupt you in the middle of something.
That's okay. We had a very productive discussion before we got to the foal count. It's 35 more foals than last year, 1,500 foals this year. Mm-hmm. 38.3 or 581 of those are by New York sires. 919 of them or 61.3% of those 1,500 foals are by non-New York sires. Eight of them are sires that stand in New York but aren't registered with us, and 911 are by out-of-state sires. There's a handful of Maryland sires, but mostly Kentucky sires. And that's because people, as Patty mentioned and you've all alluded to, everyone has now decided to shoot for that August sale and try to get their money, because in the breeding game, the awards are wonderful, but you wait such a long time, and so many things can go wrong, whereas in the sales ring, the hammer falls, you get your money 45 days later.
And also, if I may speak, which there are more small breeders that we already know, they don't have the money to take the horses a yearling to racing. I mean, it costs a lot of money. So they want to race, but they want to sell. They don't have, so we have like a big gap of the people that just can't take it to the races.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They just don't have the money, and it's expensive. We have done it, and most of the time you're not successful. Sometimes you are, but that is the gap that I don't know how we can help them out a little bit. I don't know. That's important. So most of the horses, they don't make it to the races, which is sad.
Yeah.
We all know that.
Yes.
I don't know if we could come up with some examples of partnership agreements for people to fund, but I mean, I didn't do any partnerships after all the rich people in the partnership, the horse got hurt. They didn't pay any more training bills, no more vet bills. I made sure the horse got transitioned to a new life, but they just backed away.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, I think that we could do an educational thing that would point out to small breeders other ways of maximizing their money. Mm-hmm. I mean, is it, for instance, you know, we have a lot of foals, and we can't expect, I mean, it's our business. We can't expect to sell all of them here, so we started about 5 years ago selling half of our crop in the two-year-old sales. Now, two-year-old sales are a different thing. They don't look so much at pedigree. They look at the performance potential. And we've been able to take horses that would have sold for very little money and turn them into very profitable ventures by doing that. I don't think most breeders have any idea that that's even doable or what it costs. So I think
expensive too.
You could put on an educational thing about that.
Promote two-year-olds,
is what?
Promote two-year-olds, yes.
Well, promote them, but promote people to get involved in, to send one of their yearlings to that rather than send it to the sale.
Educating the breeders of our state that there are more options than just shooting for the yearling sale, that they can, you know, invest in their horse, their foal, and grow, and that the two-year-old sale could be more bang for the buck in Joe's
name. Maybe we should have a two-year-old sale in Saratoga.
Joe, didn't we used to have one? Was it at Belmont or was it Saratoga?
We had them at both. We tried it at both. It was very tough to do it. Very hard to make it successful. The majority of the professional sellers are located in Ocala. They go to a sale in South Florida. They have three sales in Ocala in Florida. Then they have another sale in Maryland. So to add in another one, say in Saratoga or Belmont, they're just saying, wow, we've done five sales already this year. It's expensive to go on the road. They don't want to support it. There's a problem with that.
But I think we are on the right track with today's discussion in creating those market conditions and shepherding the program to get the investment back in New York Sire progeny, working with NYRA to see on what additional incentives and programs we can work on together in helping to boost up those foal numbers.
I think Joe is right. I mean, nobody has the right answer how we can make those people to make it to the sales or to the races, but if we can provide with some ideas,
yeah,
like how to make it to from their born to actually make money or race, I wish we all know that. But step by step, maybe there's another answer in the middle. There's like a disconnection. All the people that have the money is fine, they can just do it. But most of those people can't. It's really expensive.
No, people have like regular jobs,
like
but love horses.
That's that. We cannot have 10 horses in training. I wish it could, but we can't afford it.
Well, okay. I mean, I think that's we're on a track, and give that I'll be really interested to see what you people come up with coming back into March. Okay, we're on to new guidelines for remote attendance at board meetings, and I know that is something the council has done. I think. We have to go into public hearing, don't we? On
this. So this entire meeting is subject to the open meetings law.
No, but we have to call it a public hearing, as I understand.
Okay.
So I will have a motion, please, for us to go into public hearing.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
I apologize for this. Now I have to say, is there anybody in the world that wants to comment on this proposal? Hearing none, I will now take a motion to withdraw from public hearing.
So is that aside, does this mean we're going into an executive session?
No, it just means we're at a public hearing where we're soliciting comments.
Okay. I'll make that motion. We need to move this along.
Yeah. All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. I apologize for this. That's how I'm told I have to do it. Okay. This is the resolution on the video conferencing. I've gone through it actually in all the other funds. I'm sure Commissioner, you've been through it as well. It allows us to go into remote and have those of us that can't make meetings go remotely. Okay, that's basically what it does in the open meeting law. Do I have any discussion on this? Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. That's taken care of. Thank you.
The wheels are going.
This is the third time I've been through it, so
I was all prepared to explain it. To go through it. I'm happy to not.
Now, on something that is important is the update on this fight on Dr. Wilmot.
One of the most fun things I've gotten to do over the last 20 plus years is go to his wife meetings. And her husband is on his wife board as well, Dr. Allsway. So back in 1979, when his wife came online as part of the creation of the Ag Fund and the Thoroughbred Fund, whereby his wife gets 2% of our budget, so that 20 million roughly you're talking about, 2% goes to Zweig, and it's now grown to the point where, I have the numbers right here actually, the number for 23 is projected as 393,904 from our fund, and the this is from the meeting, the budget at the meeting last month in Cornell, and the ag projection is 251,354. Now, Kim's numbers are almost the same. They're off by a little, but that's all actual and this and that. Anyway, point is...
About $600,000 from...
It's a lot of money.
Yeah.
It's, 393 and 251. So what that's done over the years, it's allowed Cornell to attract and retain the brightest and the best equine researchers from around the world. And some of the things that have been accomplished... the horse genome was solved with the help of Cornell. There were 11 universities worldwide that were given the horse genome project. Three of them were in the U.S., one was Cornell. And Zweig supported that to the tune of $50,000 a year for probably, 3 to 4 or 5 years, I forget what. And what happened is, I forget if it was USDA, I think it was USDA, so much progress was made that they paid for the rest of it. In other words, the first 5 years, they did so well, they just stepped up and paid for the rest of it. So that money was probably 10% of what it really cost. And that's the beauty of a fund like this, is that it will fund a really good project, and you'll get other people to step up and help out. So anyway, for this year, there were 9 applicants, and they had to be Cornell professors, and 7 were approved. Usually it's a little less than that, but this year, usually it's around half. Another really good thing that has been supported by Zweig in more recent times is addressing catastrophic racehorse injury, which of course is going to be part of our social contract going forward. That how we take care of our backstretch folks, the least of our brethren. That's going to be what, my opinion, determines, and hopefully friendly state government, that our industry will continue. So Dr. Scott Palmer is an adjunct member of the Zweig committee. He's been part of research that most of you already heard about, where there's a little gizmo that goes in the saddle cowl and it measures stride of horses. And it's done all New York racing. Every race in New York it's done now. It started off as a pilot program here a couple of years ago. And now there's a big thing at AEP, the Equine Vets meeting, where now they're expanding it. So by having this little sensor in the saddle towel, they can identify horses whose stride is screwed up. It's not visible to the most seasoned observers. And these horses are now going to be, they're not banned, but they're set aside for extra caution and procedures to identify them. So anyway, that's one of the things that we, as the breeding fund and the ag fund, can be very proud of. There's no other program like it in the country. It's very hard to get money for equine research. You can get it for pigs and cows and stuff, but not for horses. But we have it here. The only other significant one is the Grace and Jockey Club. They do a great job too, so I'm not knocking them. But this is specific to Cornell and New York State. So anyway, the beat goes on. Any questions?
That's very. So you'll have about $600,000 for this year coming up?
Yes. Yes, and the other thing, and this is credit to Zweig, that Zweig is, the fund has done over the years, is that we squirreled away amounts. So we have a rainy day fund now, too. So when COVID happened there a couple of years ago, and the revenue from the harness fund and the thoroughbred fund was basically cut in half,
right,
we were able to reach into the reserve and still support the research. So. Here's another thing that came from that DNA project, the equine genome. Now, probably 3/4 of all the projects that are proposed are using DNA and not live horses. Mm. Cheaper, more efficient, more humane. It's revolutionized equine and human research. But anyway, so we can be proud to be supporting.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Wonderful. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you, Dr. Well, thank you for the report. I would like a motion for us to go into executive session to discuss. Sorry. Okay.